welcome to another Highly Questionable. I'm Israel Gutierrez. Dan's around here somewhere, but Bobby said let's keep this thing moving. So that's Frank Isola. Frank, what do you like on the show today?
We have Zion Williamson. He actually played more than 9 minutes, and he looked pretty good.
Pretty good. Let's go, Bobby. Do we need to start thinking about the 49ers as the best team in the NFC? To quote my boy J.A. Adonde of Around the Horn, easy Romeo. It's still the Bucks, the Bengals, the Steelers, and the Browns, who are not that impressive yet, that you've beaten the 49ers. But if you look at the entire package, Kyle Shanahan in that offense, and we've seen everywhere he's been, he has been a genius of an offensive coordinator, and he is making it work right now. You're looking at Jimmy Garoppolo. Just compare him to Baker Mayfield last night alone, and you see, man, Jimmy Garoppolo seems to be the better option currently. You've got a guy like Matt Breida, who I think fantasy football owners know, but real football people might not know. And we talked about Christian McCaffrey the other day hitting a top speed, fastest in the NFL this year. Well, Breida just passed that last night. They seem to have all the elements. You throw and Kittle, Goodwin, they have plenty there. They have great coaching. I don't know whether they are top of first tier, bottom of the first tier, but they're up there with all those other teams.
You know, it's not that long ago that the 49ers went to the conference title game 3 straight years. Colin Kaepernick went to the Super Bowl with them, but they've missed the playoffs 5 straight years. 4 of those 5 years, they didn't even win more than 6 games. Are they a legitimate team? Absolutely. The best team? Talk to me once they play Green Bay, then they go on the road to play Baltimore, and they go on the road to play the Saints, and they got 2 games left against Seattle. But I will say this, Kyle Shanahan, legitimate coach. Jimmy Garoppolo, good quarterback, terrific running game, and how about that defensive line with Nick Bosa? He was an absolute terror. You could win with a good offensive line and good defensive line. They seem to have that.
No one is going to say anything about my new glasses.
Do look great,
Bobby.
I'm telling you.
So look trendy.
Jason, new look.
5 years younger.
Are you having trouble with them, or
I'm
are you
hot,
flirting?
I'm hot.
He's hot.
He definitely is.
Are we sure that Baker Mayfield is good?
No, we're not quite sure yet. However, let's not put all of last night on that guy. What we saw from the Cleveland Browns was an offensive line that cannot pass protect. They cannot. They seem like you want to talk about Baker Mayfield being a one-read person. He only has time to make one read, and then he's got to scramble because guys are coming at him. Nick Bosa, in particular, was an absolute beast. Hard to say anything negative about Baker Mayfield when it comes to him not having enough time. However, if you look at the entirety of it, there is seem to be nothing easy going to Odell Beckham. This talent that's on this team that doesn't seem to have any easy offense, everything becomes more difficult. They're a good running team. They're a good run-blocking team. But last night, they needed more than that, and Baker Mayfield did not elevate them. I won't say that Baker Mayfield is not good. He has yet to show signs of being special, though. And the Browns, while maybe they didn't expect him to be special just yet, do have high expectations, and they haven't met them yet. He hasn't reached even last year's expectations.
You know, 8 for 22, 100 yards in today's NFL, that's something a backup quarterback does. Maybe a third-string quarterback. And I get it. The offensive line wasn't good. He's running for his life. But look at the numbers. 31 touchdowns, 22 interceptions for his career. It's just not good enough. And I'll tell you what, when the rush is in his face, suddenly he looks like he's about 5'7", not 6 feet tall. And you talked about Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry. You realize that this year they've had 39 offensive snaps inside the red zone. Landry and Odell Beckham, one catch apiece. You have the skilled players. They got to get the ball somehow.
Say what you will about being patient and Baker Mayfield eventually evolving. He leads the NFL with 8 interceptions already. That's not good. His passer rating from last night, 13.4. If he just would have spiked the ball into the ground every single time, would have been a passer rating of 39. So far, not very good.
So you just have to do what you just said. Spike the ball. And your QB rating goes from 14 to 39. You're going to look like a hero.
Yeah.
That's right. That's a hell of an idea.
Heady play.
The Zion preseason debut, you think he could be great right away?
Zion Williamson made his preseason debut for the Pelicans, had 16-7, looked like a beast, looked like he had all these dunks as you expected. Lonzo Ball had a few threes, set him up with another transition dunk. But what I think is ridiculously impressive about Zion is at 6'6 and his size, he can still move like a small forward. People think, oh, he's this big dunker, he's just going to live around the rim. No, you saw on that first dunk, caught the ball on the move, quick move to the right, finished. And he's not always going to finish over your head, but he's going to get up there. And he had a nice little up and under layup as well. He can do a lot more things than people expect in terms of his body type. But what he needs to, what we need to see is more shots, more go-to shots, and see what he can do passing the ball as well. Because he's going to get in spaces on the floor. It's just going to be a matter of what he does once he gets there.
You know, we haven't really seen Zion Williamson since that first Summer League game, really the most overhyped Summer League game ever. He played 9 minutes. He was out of shape in that game. Then he basically disappeared. I think what was important, his body looks a lot better. And I get it. 3 of the 6 baskets were dunks. Dunking the ball is not a bad thing. It's a high percentage shot. He's going to get better. Eventually, he's going to have to develop a mid-range jumper and a three-point shot. Ben Simmons has been an all-star, and he doesn't have a three-point shot yet. So let's give it some time. And I'll say this about the Pelicans. You lose Anthony Davis, and you think your franchise is in the toilet. They have Zion Williamson, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram. It's a pretty exciting team for a team that just lost a superstar.
Oh, did you see my guy Lonzo shooting out there last night?
Mm-hmm. Oh. He was pretty impressive there. Look, clean.
Man.
Look at that.
Man.
Even a quick chest pound.
Stop listening
there.
To his father. No offense.
Probably getting some lessons from J.J. Redick.
Look at this.
Woo!
Step back.
Step back. Looks more confident than ever, huh?
Counterpoint. He means he saw their 7 shots.
That's counting.
But those look good, though. Those look good. The other 7 don't matter.
Does Adam Silver's new statement make things better for the NBA?
Well, this is a very difficult situation, and it continues to be so, and it's not one that's going to go away anytime soon. A lot of people felt Adam Silver's first statement left Daryl Morey out to dry somewhat when all he did, in some people's eyes, is make a statement about freedom. So Adam Silver then responded with another statement and said this: I recognize our initial statement left people angered, confused, or unclear on who we are and what the NBA stands for. Let me be more clear. Over the last 3 decades, the NBA has developed a great affinity for the people of China. We have seen how basketball can be important from people-to-people exchange that deepens ties between the United States and China. At the same time, we recognize that our two countries have different political systems and beliefs, and like many global brands, we bring our business to places with different political systems around the world. But for those who question our motivation, this is about far more than growing our business. Adam Silver is telling you this is not all about money. It might be cut and dry for everybody else, but there's nuance here, and he's trying to settle it differently.
If you're up at 5:30 in the morning today in the East, Adam Silver live from Tokyo on all the news channels during his press conference. And basically he was saying, we do not apologize for Daryl Morey expressing his opinion. Now, Adam Silver did not want to comment on the opinion, but he was making sure that people knew the NBA is not suppressing the First Amendment. CCTV has decided not to televise Lakers Nets. They play Thursday and Saturday. They then came out and are upset that Adam Silver would not denounce what Daryl Morey said. So this story, we're just in the beginning part of it, because the NBA now goes to Shanghai. The games are Thursday and Saturday. And I heard people say, you know what? Adam Silver should take the Lakers and the Nets and go home. Remember, though, the Nets are owned by Joe Tsai, who is a Chinese billionaire. That's not going to happen.
Do you know what Roger Goodell is doing now?
What's that?
You got problems. I got none. You got problems.
It's
I got none.
Never felt better to be Roger Goodell than today.
Who should feel more confident heading into Game 5, the Nets or the Dodgers?
Is this a trick question? Because I feel like the only thing the Dodgers should be feeling is pressure.
Yes.
I mean, 31 years since their last World Series, best regular season record they've ever had, and they're getting to a Game 5 here. They've got Walker Buehler going in Game 5, and he has been great. He was great in Game 1. But you also have Clayton Kershaw. And what do you do about that, right? He's supposed to be your guy. He's going to be able to come in and give you some innings, but are you going to even feel confident about that given this situation? The Dodgers are in an absolute must-win, and it's going to be a disaster if they don't win this. Of course, the Nats should be feeling better going into this.
You know, I look at the Dodgers. The pitching is better. The bullpen is better. The lineup is better. But what the Nats have working for them is the starting pitcher, Steven Strasburg. You look at Max Scherzer, what he did, and you talk about a bulldog. In that 7th inning with the bases loaded, he didn't have much left in the tank, and he got out of the inning. And at some point in Game 5, if the game is close, Max Scherzer is going to pitch either the 8th inning or the 9th inning. The key for the Nats will be, can you keep it close? Because if you get to that bullpen too early, they're going to lose this game. I just wonder about Justin Turner, David Freese, guys that have been through it before, seem to come up with big clutch hits. Who's going to be that guy in the Nats? For a Game 5 in L.A., I'm giving the edge to the Dodgers.
And now, my impersonation of the Dodgers.
Old Dodgers, current Dodgers, the Dodgers tomorrow.
They did make the World Series last year.
It's all of it.
Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, we know. You're joking.
I'm serious these times. Was Yadier Molina's bat flip cool or lame after his walk-off sack fly?
Well, Yadier Molina is a bad man, and he's been doing this in the playoffs for a long time, getting big at bats here. This was a walk-off sack fly, though. Here's what he did.
The walk-off sack fly can be very exciting. Look how deep it was, though.
So he knew.
Yeah, the run was going to score. So he kept running down to first with the bat in his hand, looking back. Game five.
Let's see the bat flip, though. Yadier Molina and the
there
Cardinals.
There it is.
These are the Cardinals, right? These are the Cardinals that sort of police that type of stuff. And here he is flipping his bat so violently. But I love it.
By the way, Yadier Molina also had the key hit that drove in the tying run. And when you talk about winning players, this Cardinals catcher is certainly a winning player. And there's a reason why he was looking out in the outfield. I think he wanted to make sure he wasn't going to hit anybody on the Atlanta Braves. But I've never seen a bat flip after the game is over. So it didn't happen during the flight of the ball. He waited until after the game ended. So I'm going to give him a pass on that one.
That wasn't a bat flip. This is a bat flip.
Oh, let's see what we got. We have bat flip montages.
Bert Campanaris. Watch this. This is old school.
Woo! You better duck.
A little Oakland A's shortstop. Hey, you know what? If you're going to use the weapon to hit me, I'm going to use my weapon to try to hit you.
Bert Campanaris. That is one bad dude, man. Coming up next on my Soul's TV show.
Here he is against Justin Anderson. Yeah, out of Virginia.
Throws an elbow. Whoa. Watch the ball.
Doink.
Ed O'Malley all over it. You're out of the game.
Hey, Frank, that happens in the park. You're fighting, right?
Time to play the game that doesn't miss Dan at all. Do your question.
You give us the topics and events, we question them.
Do you question if Andre Drummond thought this was good?
It's the NBA preseason, and in Detroit it was their first. They say Andre Drummond's been working on extending his range, which would normally be just outside the paint, but apparently it's even farther out than that.
After pulling it down, Bruce Brown by himself.
Quick pass.
Andre Drummond.
No. So confident.
Crash.
I mean, it looked like it cracked the backboard, man. I mean, you have to have been practicing this for a lot to shoot it that confidently.
The idea for a guy that size is to smash the backboard on a dunk, not on a three-pointer. Andre Drummond, start working at the free throw line.
How about we
get that
baby
shot
steps
down first?
Exactly.
Then
take
we'll
one step
up
at a time. Like when Chris Bosh went from shooting long twos to threes, that's one step. This,
exactly.
A little bit too much.
Skipping a step, never good.
That wasn't his worst shot of the game.
No. Vucevic. Lefty.
An air ball. Do you question if Marcus Morris is helping the team?
Marcus Morris is with the Knicks now. Yeah. Always angry, it seems like, regardless of what team he's on. Last night, looked a little angry still. Here he is against Justin Anderson. Yeah, out of Virginia.
Throws an elbow.
Whoa.
Watch the ball.
Doink.
Ed O'Malley all over it. You're out of the game.
Hey, Frank, that happens in the park. You're fighting, right? Absolutely fighting.
I once saw Karl Malone do that to Clarence Weatherspoon. Clarence Weatherspoon wanted to kill him.
If that first elbow would have connected, Marcus is suspended for five games. I mean, that's such disrespect. One of the top five disrespectful moments in the NBA.
Yeah, listen.
And after the game, this is what Marcus Morris said about it.
You know, if I was back in the season, I wouldn't have done that. Yeah, because I, you know, my team needs me. You know, I got smart guys. I set a better example. But, you know, like I said in the game, we're not taking no shit. So, it is what it is.
I saw where Kevin Durant said basically the Knicks aren't cool anymore, and that's why nobody goes there. Is he helping with this?
By the way, they opened their season against San Antonio, the team that he verbally agreed to sign with, then backed out. He might be suspended for that game now.
Doink.
That defender didn't sell it. He should have done these.
What's that?
When you look at the turnover, it's forced to
be. Grab the rebound. Oh, with the flop. Who is that?
Oh, timing
Russia?
Is perfect.
Romania?
Wait, what do I do?
Watch the flop.
Oh.
It's like the Matrix.
That guy looks like fake Marcin Gortat.
He looks exactly like Marcin Gortat. Is that where he is?
The Polish hammer.
Do your question. Which was the more embarrassing? Nutmeg.
Well, I appreciate nutmeg in some of my desserts. It's a very subtle flavor. But in the NBA, it's super embarrassing. You had James Harden doing it, and you had Trae Young doing it. Let's look at these.
Dave Tarn, this is in Tokyo this morning.
Yep.
Watch this.
He's a good on-ball defender.
And then he drives. Then he draws the foul.
Yeah. It's so unfair, though. I mean, how are you supposed to play defense if not with your legs spread?
You know, when you play soccer, it's embarrassing to get nutmeg. In basketball, it's even worse.
But this one was even worse. This was Trae Young against the Pelicans. Watch this one.
Yeah, J.J. Redick's an old guy. He misses
yes,
the shot
look,
here.
Look.
Then here comes Trae.
It's the reaction. It's the reaction because he swiped backward, too, and he knew exactly how embarrassing this was.
Look at his face here. It's the preseason.
Oh, man.
And
yeah, that's about the low light of J.J. Redick's career right there.
Well, it's always better in between the legs than it a little bit higher, if you know what I mean.
We call that the Draymond Green.
Do you question if the team in white earned this double play?
The team in white is made up of a bunch of baseball players around 13 years old. Let's see what happened. All right.
Playing on a softball field. There's no infield grass. Fair ball. Take him out.
Oh, that is unfortunate. Wow. I don't know what the game situation here was, but if this was a close game, this has to be the most frustrating way to ever get out of an inning.
Look how the ball just stopped right there in the dirt. What is that? A 2-2 putout, I think.
What the hell is the third base coach doing? You know, why is he sending that kid home from third base?
The ball
base,
was
man?
That far off the plate.
Right. That's it. You know,
come
you
on,
gotta
look
wait,
at this. He's
wait.
A mile.
This is what the parents are saying. They're yelling at the third base coach. That's volunteering
right.
his time. Why you send him?
He blew that call, man.
We're going to surprise him. We're going to go no matter what.
No matter what. Yeah, you break for home plate. Highly questionable. This broadcast from the Clevelander Hotel on beautiful South Beach, Miami. Time to play the game that eats when he's bored. See? Oh, no.
He's bored all the time. You tell us what to watch on TV tonight. We'll tell you if we're intrigued.
Tonight on Fox Sports 1, Game 4, Astros and Rays.
Yeah, of course. In 19 and a third innings this year, Justin Verlander has allowed one run to the Tampa Bay Rays. He was great in Game 1, and then 36-year-old said, you know what, give me the ball again for Game 4 after 3 days rest. It's a tough game because if they go to Game 5, then you've got Gerrit Cole with all the marbles on the table. So this is Justin Verlander's big Game 4. Here's some of his Game 1 performance.
1-2 from payoff pitch from
just dirty. I just don't know how he is this good at this age.
Gerrit Cole and Verlander, 47 swinging strikes in this series thus far against Tampa.
How about you, Frank? You intrigued?
Of course I am, because the winner of this series plays the Yankees, who, by the way, 13 straight wins over the Minnesota Twins. Give Charlie Morton a lot of credit. Tampa Bay, they got 32,000 people in their building. He gave them 5 quality innings. Tampa could scare Houston.
Gonzo, are you intrigued?
Oh, see, I'm very intrigued. Are you kidding me? Everybody's talking about the Astros and Justin Verlander. Nobody's saying anything about this Latino pitcher that is going to get to the mound tonight, you know. Diego Castillo, that guy is a real winner. You know, I tell you one thing. You know, his ERA is zero.
Zero.
You know what I mean? And when you got a zero ERA in the major leagues, they can hit you. They can score you. So I got my money on Diego Castillo tonight.
Zero Castillo.
Zero. Well, he has pitched less than 2 innings, but zero is zero.
Right. Factual.
Streaming on History, Forged in Fire.
I actually enjoy Forged in Fire, and this was their U.S. Army Sword Challenge. What could possibly go wrong?
Furman Tyler, congratulations. You boys have made it into the final round of this competition. Now we're sending you back to your home forges to recreate this iconic weapon. The U.S. Army Officer Sword.
Oh,
snap. Cut him in. Are you ready? Sorry, yes, sir.
Don't try this at home. Oh. Oh, snap.
Sorry, Tremaine. Your edge will lacerate and cut flesh. Your tip is sharp to puncture from the back, even into the heart, and it lacerates on the way out. But in cutting the head and cutting that spine, it did take a bend, and there's light chipping on the edge of your blade. But Your weapon, sir, will kill.
Yeah. I have not seen somebody that excited about a sword since Kill Bill. Frank, are you intrigued?
If I want to see blood and gore, I'll watch UFC.
To be fair, I'm pretty sure that was jelly. I don't think it was actually blood. How about you, Poppy? Are you intrigued?
Oh, see, I'm very intrigued. Oh, it is my dream to be covered in a strawberry jelly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, just bathe in it. Just fill the
tub. That's right. Ooh, that's good stuff. Nice. Good stuff. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for watching.
Thank you for watching.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Of course. Sure.
What have you done with my son?
I need the work.
Don't look in your trunk.
Don't hear from him anymore.